morning. My name is Angela Ryder, and this meeting is now in session. It is now Tuesday, February 27th, 2024, at 9 a.m. at the Arizona State Board of Massage Therapy. I'm calling this meeting to order. Folks on this video conference, please mute yourself until it is your opportunity to speak or you've been called upon to eliminate distractions of background noise. The chair of the Arizona State Board of Massage Therapy reserves the right to change the order of items published on this agenda, except for public hearings, which we have none today, that are set for a specific time. During the board meeting and upon a vote of the majority of the quorum, the board may go into executive session to obtain legal advice from the board's attorney pursuant to ARS 38-431.03A3 on any items listed on the agenda. All meeting attendees whose presence is not required in executive session may remain in the boardroom until the board returns from chambers from the executive session. Any and all legal action by the board members will only take place in open session. Director Augerton, will you please call roll?
Yes, Madam Chair. Board Member Tapscott?
Present.
Vice Chair DeRoost?
Present.
Chair Ryder?
Present.
Three present, two vacant.
Thank you. Pursuant to ARS 38-431.01H, the board may make an open call to the public during the public meeting, subject to a reasonable time. The cutoff is 2 minutes and will be timed by board staff, as well as place manner and restrictions to allow individuals to address the public body on any issues within the jurisdiction of the public body. However, members of the board are not allowed to discuss or take legal action on matters raised during an open call to public, unless the matters are properly noticed for discussion and legal action. The board, however, may ask staff to review a matter or may ask that the matter be put on a future agenda. Please be advised that a call to public is not an opportunity or testimony. Do we have a call to public? Please raise your hand on the meeting screen and you'll be called on. Alcenia, did I see your hand go up? Please go ahead and unmute yourself.
All right, hello. Yes, I, Alcenia Hutzler, licensed massage therapist. I wanted to take a moment to introduce what I have proposed to the massage board. And I don't know, is it time to talk about that, Tom?
Unmute, Tom. Alcenia, I'll go ahead and say that, yes, you may, since it is a call to public.
Okay, perfect, perfect. So last meeting I had brought this up, and I have been talking, communicating with Tom back and forth. What I have been doing for the past year was supporting any and all applicants in the massage world with applications, renewals, fingerprint clearance, good cause, Emblex, any and all calls that couldn't be made to the board came to me. And so I had started to develop everything massage therapy. How can I extenuate this outside of the school settings? I am no longer in the school settings. So me personally, I stepped aside and created Everything Massage Therapy LLC. I am currently being utilized. People are contacting me through Jimmy, John, whoever. This is a necessity. I have been, like I said, 12 years. I have driven to Tucson on my own time to help individuals who are in their upper ages who cannot figure out. I can't figure out how to upload my CUs to my applications. I need a fingerprint clearance. How do I do that? This is, I send them the items you need to bring from the top of their application for massage all the way through to their DPS items. I will sit with them or do Zoom personal, make sure that these processes are being done and done properly. So I am offering to be that volunteer through the Everything Massage Therapy to help support calls and things that the board is overabundance in.
Thank you so much, Alcinia. Do we have anybody else who would like to say something during the call? Okay. And it appears that we do not. Agenda item number 4, as a formality, are there any conflicts of interest regarding the topic of discussion today? And I will take that as a no. Item number 5, just as yesterday, the meeting minutes for our previous board meetings are in production. And on to item number 6 on our agenda, review, discussion, and possible action on changing state board procedure for submission of statutorily required federal FD-258 hard copy fingerprint cards. So the purpose of this special meeting is to potentially direct the board staff to research the FD-258 fingerprints process. In this research, we would want to find out from DPS how current the prints need to be in order to be valid. If I recall, I had found at some point, and Investigator Olson can correct me if I'm not accurate, that prints cannot be older than 120 days when they are submitted for the background check. That being said, once we have this information, is there anything that prevents an individual from bringing, from beginning this process prior to graduation, let's say 90 days prior to graduation? And this, finding out this research could potentially reduce the wait time significantly from graduation to actual licensure. So I want to defer back to Investigator David Olson if you've got more information to share on this and what our next steps are.
I've researched the statutes, and I don't see anything that would prevent it from letting them apply 90 days prior to graduation. I have been waiting on DPS since last Friday to call me back to verify that. I have not heard from DPS. I've tried them multiple times, Friday, yesterday, and even this morning. I haven't heard back from the supervisor over the applicant team, which is who I deal with. It's separate from clearance cards. But on this end, I've been advising schools. We used to get bombarded with calls about so-and-so has a felony. Are they eligible to get a license? Well, if I tell you what I think is going to happen, that's giving you legal advice, and I can't do that. So what I've been telling them is, if you have a question, have them get a fingerprint clearance card prior to admission to your program. At least if they know they can get a fingerprint clearance card, then there's a good possibility they can get a license. So if they apply for their fingerprint clearance card upon admission and then are allowed 90 days to, if they submit their fingerprints with their application 90 days prior to graduation, then, you know, it's my understanding that within a week or two of us receiving their application, they would be able to be licensed, because all of that should be backed by that.
Right. I think also, I know that there are some schools that already put this into practice, but it's voluntarily. And so then the question would be, would the board be able to have this as a policy where it's, I don't want to say require, because require is a very strong word, but highly recommend that these schools participate in this practice, so that way the board is not bombarded with people, where's my license, or you've got people who don't understand that we don't have the FD-258 cards in our possession. We're still waiting for them to come back from DPS. So I'd like to open the floor up to the board members Alcinia, I do see your hand raised, but because this is a formal meeting, it's limited to the board members at this point. Okay. So I'd like to hear from the board members, what your thoughts are on this. And let's start with board member Tab Scott.
Thank you, Chair Ryder. I love this idea. I've read over the statutes too. I'm no lawyer, obviously. But I don't see why we can't start parts of the licensing process early. In no way do I mean licensing people early. I mean allowing somebody to pay for and take the risk of submitting an application early that might be denied for other reasons. And of course that application wouldn't be completely approved until a transcript came in and all the other things came in after that. We're already advising our students at Gateway, and we haven't made it mandatory yet either, but we've already advised them to get a fingerprint clearance card right away, because that's a really good litmus test to kind of see if you're going to make it through this process. And we might possibly make it a flat-out requirement, because it just saves you a lot of time and money. But as we all know, through no fault of the board, one of the biggest holdups is the fingerprint card background check. And if we could have people apply 90 days early, with the stipulation that they still have to make all the requirements that they've always had to make, it's just that we can start the background check early. I think that'd be fantastic. However, that is coming, and I think it would be absolutely fantastic, but that is coming from somebody who does not work in the office of the board, does not have to process the paperwork, does not understand the procedures. So I invite, those of you that actually have to do the work to speak up if there's something that I'm missing procedurally where that makes more problems, but from a layperson's point of view, it sounds like it would really help, to eliminate a big delay that's nobody's fault and out of our control, but we could work around it this way without going against any of the state statutes.
Thank you, Board Member Tapscott. In addition to that, I mean, again, I'm not processing the licenses either, and I don't want to overwhelm anybody. I know that the board staff sends out deficiency notices for those who don't have all of the components in their application. And if everything else is in their application, and this was implemented, then every applicant that's coming from the school would get a deficiency notice of we're missing your transcripts. And that's if they turned everything else in. From an administration point of view, that's not a problem, but is that going to create more work or for the board staff? I'd like to defer to Vice Chair DeRoost for any questions or comments as well.
Okay. Thank you. Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. So I just a little clarification, because I think I hear two things. Some of the schools are encouraging people kind of as a precursor to going through the program of getting a fingerprint clearance just to make sure that they would qualify. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yes.
Okay. But we would really be regulating more of that they would be able to, or what we're talking about is before the end of their program. They've done that on their own. We're not talking about making a policy about that. It's more about that they would be able to 90 days before apply for their fingerprint clearance.
No, so the fingerprint clearance would be separate. What we're discussing is beginning the FD-258 fingerprint process. So they're two different processes, but the FD-258 fingerprint actually takes 90 days to come back from DPS, whereas the clearance card can be obtained, at the beginning of a program, anytime in the program, but the FD-258 fingerprint cards, actually say, the ones where you see the inked fingerprint on them. I've seen it say that those prints must be done within 120 days of submitting them for background check. So that's actually the piece that we're talking about right now is the FD-258.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. And it does make sense that if people can get the fingerprint clearance, then they would most likely be able to get the FD clearance card, right? That's what we're seeing.
FD 258. So yes, if they already have the clearance card, there's a couple of advantages of having the clearance card ahead of time is that if there is anything that would prevent them from obtaining a license, they would know about it then, and they can go through the process of getting a good faith exemption or good cause exemption to wipe that off of their record. So that way, when it is time to do the FD 258, it may come to the board, you know, if they've had something on their record prior to licensing, we still might have to hear those, investigate those cases. But as I said, they're two different processes, but they can get the clearance card pretty much at any time. And for those who do have something on their record, we would recommend that anyways, because it's going to take a little bit of time to get items expunged or the good faith exemption, because that is a process as well.
Okay, that was a great explanation. Thank you. Yeah, I agree with you guys. I think that this would be great and help really streamline the process. And I think just making sure that we're doing our due diligence to make sure that that's possible and that we've done our research and that we're implementing something that it will, you know, is supported and not illegal. But I think it sounds great.
Thank you. Board Member Tapscott?
Yeah, just to clarify, maybe for all of us and for the general public, it's my understanding that all we're saying is we're allowing people, if they want, to apply 90 days before they've actually graduated. We're not talking about giving anybody a license. I want to be very, very clear. They still have to meet all the requirements, but we're allowing them to pay for and start the process 90 days before, so that we can get a head start on some of the longer parts of the process that are out of our control. That's all we're talking about.
And to clarify your question, yes, that is correct. So at this point, we're really just researching if we can. So there are some places that are already doing this. The purpose of this meeting is to provide a little bit more research to see if we can actually implement a policy that requires the schools to do this 90 days ahead of time. And that is so that it's streamlined and consistent across the board in the schools, that getting that information ahead of time. Yes, Board Member Tapscott.
Can I just add, I don't have anything against requiring the schools, but I don't even think it would be necessary to require. I think once we say that you can apply 90 days early, everybody will apply 90 days early. I mean, that will just be, we won't have that. It's just a customer service thing that we're providing, and 99.9% of people will apply early. If we want to make it a requirement, that's fine. That might be a little bit out of our reach, but I don't mind. But it's not going to require a requirement. It's just going to be, we're just going to open the floodgates. If they can apply 90 days early, they're going to apply right that day. If for me, as somebody who runs a school, 90 days before graduation, we're going to have a class. You know, here's how you go off your thing. It's 90 days before, let's go. And I'm assuming every school would do that.
I somewhat agree with you. I was director of education at Corteva Institute, and you know, this was a practice that we did. Don't tell anybody. I said that. No, I'm just kidding. but this is something that we did for a long time. And from where I'm sitting, I think that even if there are schools that are doing it, there are a lot that aren't doing it. And if it's known that this is what the board is saying you should be doing, then people will fall on. So it's not necessarily saying, hey, now you really need to do this. It's making that information available that it can be done, because the practice has been performed for quite some time and not everybody is doing it. Yes, Board Member Tapscott.
So again, for clarification, just so we don't confuse the issue, it sounds like there's two things. One is, will we allow this to be done? Can we legally allow this to be done, to allow people to apply 90 days early? And that's one issue, which I hope we can. And the second thing is if we want to require it, which I have very little opinion on either way.
Yes, so I'm trying not to get, well, it doesn't matter if I get in trouble. I did it. I did it before, and I didn't get in trouble for it, so You know, I know other schools that do it. I won't throw them under the bus. I'll only take accountability for what I've done in the past. So.
Thank you. I was not aware of that, but thank you for your transparency.
Absolutely. Investigator Elson, is there anything that you want to add to this conversation? And don't scold me. I already know.
No, everything sounds correct.
Okay. Director Augerton, do you have anything that you would like to add to this conversation this morning?
Is the Pope Catholic? Yes, please, Madam Chair. Thank you. So let me just summarize what I think the instructions to the staff are going to be. The first thing that we would do is do a legal review with the Attorney General's office. Not only is it courtesy to them, although Casey is here on our call, but I do think that the due diligence the board should do should begin with our relationship with the AG's office. Then we've already begun, but don't have any definitive information yet from the Arizona Department of Public Safety, and that needs to be formalized, at least verbally initially and maybe in writing afterwards. Just for an exploratory research, I'm going to ask the investigator to talk to the Department of Justice and just really, you know, revalidate that, in fact, we can do this. Because remember, the board is not instructing the staff to draft a new state regulation under the administrative code, which goes to Mr. Tapscott's discussion, which is that this would be an opportunity for someone who plans to enter the industry and is going through an Arizona-based school to pursue this process. The one change that would, in fact, I don't know how you did what you did, Madam Chair, because historically the board would not accept the federal fingerprint card unless there had been an application submitted and a fee paid. That procedure would change now, because typically the staff sometimes gets materials out of the blue from individuals who have not yet begun the application process. And that either necessitates the materials to be returned to the individual, not knowing if the intention is to be an applicant. But if this policy is approved by the board, there'd be a twofold process where even if you have not submitted an application and fee payment, the staff would accept the fingerprint card for processing with DPS, regardless of the date, as long as it's within the shelf life of the card itself. Because currently, ordinarily, we don't do any action with an application unless we have fee payment and we have the application considered. I do think it's a courtesy we should do a reach out to the schools. I think that when this policy is in draft form, we should try to explain it, send out a contact with the Arizona-based schools, and let them know this is being considered. Make sure that we're not missing something that the schools would have suggested to make it easier on their part. I mean, obviously, applicants can come directly to the board, but traditionally, the schools provide a service here in the state of Arizona where when a person starts to matriculate, they have a student affairs relationship with their program, for the most part, for the accredited schools. And then they are there as a resource to actually provide assistance with the application process. And then they can provide feedback to the applicant themselves or the board does, and typically we provide it to both. And then lastly, the staff would return a draft policy for board adoption, and thereby not necessitating a rule change, which is a timely pursued and somewhat costly as well. So,
thank you for that. And for complete transparency, so that you know what I had done previously, is we would have a fingerprint individual come to the school, do the prints for the students. Then those students would then come into my office. We would fill out their online application, put all the things together in the packet, minus the transcripts. That was the only thing that they were missing. And those would go to the board, and then they would get the deficiency notice that they were missing the transcripts. And they already, the board already had the fingerprint card, so that started their process. My experience with that was that by the time they actually did graduate and the transcripts had been sent to the board as that deficiency, that the DPS FD-258 cards were already coming back, and so students were getting their license in less than a month because we had begun that process in advance. So the only thing, and so literally what I was doing is exactly what we're proposing at this point.
Madam Chair, as you're aware, we did attempt to get this change 5 years ago, but at the time we didn't have the requirement for the DPS Level 1 card, and there was a bit of a pushback. But a lot of the pushback in government sometimes is, quote, we've always done it that way. Well, this, I know we've always done it that way, and we have for the last 5 years, but we wanted to raise this idea again since it's still an unresolved delay and unresolved problem. But I think the independent justification for it is the Level 1 card. And if the schools were to offer or direct their incoming classes to go ahead and get that based on a school requirement, not a state requirement, then you have started the process of getting your license early with a baseline check. So I think the timing this time is defensible with the proposal because it's a twofold process. It's a double check. And the DPS Level 1 clearance card really is an inclusion into a notification system really for the schools as well as the board, because once you have your Level 1 card, if in fact something should happen during education prior to licensure, then the Justice Department notifies the DPS, who notifies the state board, who notifies the school. So prior to the FBI check, if there is an arrest anywhere in the nation, and they're not yet required to report that in 10 days since they're not yet licensed therapists,
correct,
the school would be the recipient of information during matriculation.
Very good.
Well, I would argue that's a benefit.
Thank you. Thank you for that. Board members, is there anything else that you'd like to add? Okay. Then I would like to move that the board staff continue to conduct research on the matter that we just discussed regarding the FD-258 fingerprints process as far as how long those prints are valid for. And then I would like to see this back up on the agenda for our next monthly meeting. So the motion is to have the staff research further the FD-258 through DPS, the fingerprints process, to find out more information if this is something that we can add to policy.
This is Board Member Tapscott. I second that motion.
And can we do a roll call vote, please, Mr. Overton?
Yes. Vice Chair DeRoost?
Aye.
Board Member Tapscott?
Aye.
Chair Ryder?
Aye.
3 ayes, 2 vacant.
The motion passes. This is very happy ayes. That's actually all we had for today. The next monthly meeting is scheduled for Monday, March 25th, 2024, to be held virtually. And on that note, this board meeting is adjourned.